Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. If you hear something in the background, I'm just getting a glass of water for myself, and that is the ice. If it's your first time listening to the show, I want to let you know a little bit about what we're doing here. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology, right, working with archetypes, Jung and Campbell, how we tell the stories in our lives and how they hold energy for us, and how we follow our intuition. I feel like there's a real inner marriage between those two topics, how we follow our intuition, how we find the path, and listen to what we're guided to do, and those archetypes, and listening deeper to those that felt sense of who we are on an innate level, and the symbols and unique experiences that we have that call to us. So if you are interested in those topics, you're in the right place tonight. I am doing a gazillion things right now. I just spoke. I live in the Seabus area here, and I just spoke on the Intuitive Tarot last week at a really great bookstore, which you guys should check out, Phoenix Books. If you're not familiar with it, it's on the corner of California Street and California Avenue and High Street in Seabus. And if you're not in the Seabus area, you should check it out anyway. Bob, who is the owner, is wonderful at getting out of print text. When I was doing my graduate work, I had to get a lot of texts that were out of print, and Bob could get them in no time flat. It was amazing, the connections that he has and the way that he is able to find these really, really obscure titles. So check him out if you're here in Seabus. And check them out for wonderful, wonderful titles if you're not. I was going to do a really short show tonight because I'm getting ready to do a presentation back at Phoenix Books again this Friday. One of the hats I wear is as a jewelry designer, and I design intuitive jewelry, which means I have clients from all over the world, really, who contact me and ask me to design pieces for them that help inspire their most sacred experiences forward. And I can do that in many different ways. I can do it by taking a photograph or an image that's meaningful for them and putting it in a jewelry design. I can also do it by working with sacred numbers, and there I count the beads. So I have many different ways that I approach this, and it's been a lot of fun. I've been doing it for about the past 8 years now, and so I'm getting ready to do a slideshow, which is quite, I'm telling you, it's quite a sticky wicket for folks who have tried to put a slideshow together. If you get one extra slide in, all your slides get disorganized, and that has happened twice to me. So I will certainly know my story by the time I'm ready to tell it. And it's been really an interesting journey to go through all these slides from the years and notice. I think with anybody who is doing anything artistic or creative, to notice just the process of that creativity. For myself, I started out doing just really listening on a deeper level to who I was and what I was called to do. And I left a job as a Montessori school teacher, Montessori school training, to spend some time figuring out what it was I was supposed to do. And I was really called by the universe and told very, very clearly through these sacred bracelets designs and through dreams and through some other imaginal means that I was supposed to help people gain insight on their journey. So I've been a practicing intuitive now for about 10 years, and also I have a counseling degree in a Jungian psychology, so the focus on archetypes and all of that, which I was talking about earlier. And I combine those skills to do intuitive counseling with people so that people can trust their own intuition. Often on our journeys, right, we start listening to the culture a little bit too much, or our families a little bit too much, about what it is we're supposed to do, and we get off track in terms of what the universe has for us. I listened to an amazing teleconference last night with Dr. Michael Conforti, who is running a wonderful organization called the Assisi Institute out of Vermont, and he does these wonderful talks on through Depth Insights, which is a radio program through Depth Insights, which is a group for folks who are interested in depth psychology. You can find it on Google, and I encourage you to join it. There's wonderful, wonderful groups, wonderful discussions. Bonnie Bright has a show called Depth Insights, which is wonderful as well. And she has been on my show, Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Anyway, I got to listen to Dr. Michael Conforti's program, teleconference, last night, and it was on working with archetypes and working with them clinically, so working with archetypes with clients. And it was a very, very interesting program, because so much of our counseling is very humanistic, right? It is either cognitive behavioral, which is, you know, thinking errors and staying in the head, or it's humanistic, which is wonderful, but Dr. Conforti points out that archetypes have a certain fixed nature. And so if we're working with archetypes, it doesn't just mean anything that we want it to mean. The symbol doesn't just mean anything that we want it to mean. And in working with my clients, I do work with the idea of the felt sense, which is kind of a composite experience that we have in the body and in the heart and in the soul and in the mind and in the whole being about what it is we're meant to do. And often that can get us in the direction of personal archetypes, right? And so that felt sense can kind of veer off from those fixities that Dr. Conforti was talking about. And I know for myself, with my own inner work, especially with my dream work, that when I did work, oh, I guess it was about 8 years ago, actually when I was trying to figure out where I was headed and when I decided to go into the graduate program that I did go into, I'm having a drink of water. I did a lot of work when I was doing that inner work on the back porch, on that high porch on Fifth and High. I did a lot of inner work around the idea of working with earth, air, fire, and water. And they showed up in my dreams. I was working in a Montessori program, and it really wasn't the best fit in some ways. I love Montessori, but the place that I was working wasn't the best fit for me, and my supervisory situation was not the best fit for me. And I was having a lot of dreams about the elements and slogging around in bogs with, you know, decaying matter and water, and so what I was doing was I was coming up against these elemental properties, which we know are fixities, right? So water is always wet, earth is packed and it's solid and it has certain fixities. It isn't water, and water isn't fire. So I was having these fixities in my dream that were teaching me and helping me to quicken my own experience of my energies inside myself, my energies, my earth, air, fire, water energies. And so I know when I listen to Dr. Conforti what he's talking about, and this idea that when we find these fixities or these alchemical truths, we can't escape them. Like, it doesn't mean something else just because we want it to. If we're dealing with fire energy, we're going to heat up. We're going to deal with the metabolism. We're going to deal with intention setting. We're going to deal with our ego. And that is the way that fire works in our systems. It's the way fire works in the world. It heats things up. So I just really am interested and find some of Dr. Conforti's ideas challenging to myself clinically working with my clients, because, you know, there is this desire to kind of go all mamby-pamby and go anywhere. And while I think sometimes for some folks it's very important to let them lead, at other times I think that it's important to help them by being an educated guide about what they're encountering. So I just really appreciate and have appreciated, when I've listened to his programs in the past, to teleconferences in the past, appreciate this idea of fixities, fixed properties, archetypes that function a certain way because that is what they are. So I can't wait to listen to more of these programs, and I encourage anybody who's interested in depth psychology, alchemy, earth, air, fire, water, anybody who's interested in archetypes, anyone who's interested in how to tell stories in their life and allow themselves to move toward energetically what's calling them now instead of what they feel like they have to repeat or are obligated to do or feel driven to do. I actually worked with someone recently who, you know, had a lot of fire energy and a lot of air energy and had spent a lot of time in their life pushing stuff to get it to a certain place. And I can certainly appreciate that kind of a story because I've done it myself quite a bit. But I've noticed for myself that the most magical times in life are the times when I let go and let things just be the way that they are and don't, like, try to push them in a certain direction. And Jung certainly understood this idea, the idea of the individuation process of finding our life by opening to what is calling us instead of what we are pushing toward. So I'm trying more and more to do that in my life. I have had some real challenges recently, and I'm trying to just be present in the moment and let it go and not try to control everything and not geek out about the fact that I can't control everything. And that, I think, is a very rich place for people to be in, right? Because in the fundamental analysis, in the final analysis, we're all going to relinquish our bodies. We're all going to die. We all have to let go in the biggest way that there is. And so what better way to prepare for that final letting go and final returning than allowing ourselves to do it in small ways along the journey? So that's been a real opportunity for me. This client today was really interesting because, you know, whenever we know that we're in our own complex material, we know that the clients that come to us speak to us on some level and remind us of our own growing edges. And I really experienced that today. And encourage everybody out there who is trying to, you know, go the easy route, to just allow themselves to experience what the universe has in store for them, and to know that if things seem difficult or seem tumultuous, often that there is this wonderful opportunity in that to notice your own growing edges, to notice where it is you might be being triggered, and what the growth opportunity is in that. So I wanted to share that this evening with folks, and I wanted to let people know who are interested in the talk that I'm doing at Phoenix on Friday that they can come at, I believe it's 8 o'clock, and come to that talk. It's $5, and it goes to the bookstore. And I will be talking about sacred bracelets and about the designs that I've created and showing this slideshow, which has been really interesting doing that, too, because I intended to just stand up there and talk. And then a really good friend had spoken there a couple weeks before, and I happened to see some pictures of her talk and realized that I had this opportunity to put this show together where I could show pictures of my work, and that would go with the stories. And so I'm telling you, boy, for anybody who does this kind of work for a living, my heart goes out to you because it is really, really detailed kinds of oriented work. But I'm knowing more about my story by going through and figuring out, like, the different themes that pop up, or what Jung calls synchronicities that pop up. And I'm noticing that there are clusters of synchronicities that have popped up. At one point, I usually design these coiled bracelets called sacred bracelets that have a lot of, they're gem encrusted, and they have a lot of overlaid beadwork on them that's very, very detail-oriented. And at one point, I had a client who came to get a bracelet designed, and one of the ways I love to work the most with people is to do an intuitive reading for them and then design a piece for them to be reminded of energetically what they're moving toward with the reading. So it kind of encapsulates everything that we've dealt with in the reading. And this woman had come to me, and she'd come to me before, and I love working with her. She's a wonderful person to work with. And she ordered a bracelet, and I was able to design her a piece. And I got this wonderful sacred song for her as well. And that was just, it just felt like this flowing, energetic, coiled thing. I mean, it was, it went, the sun inside, the soul's sweet light, it grows the heart inside, it grows the heart inside. So anyway, I got this little ditty for her, this little tune, and at that point, she wanted a bracelet that was dealing with the energies that she experienced when she was on a journey in India. And so I had designed this piece and had looked at a bunch of photos of the place that she'd stayed when she was in India and got this song for her, and then started looking up the energy of the mala, which is a 108 beaded piece that you do kind of like a rosary with. You hold each bead and you set intention and you do blessings with each bead in the sequence. And so I kind of had the energy of that going on, and then a dear client who I've worked with, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9 times, who I've made pieces for practically everyone in her family, got a hold of me and said, "Jenny, I don't know how you feel about this, and, you know, I want you to be comfortable with it, but I was wondering if you know what a mala is." And I was like, "Oh, that's so weird. Of course I know what a mala is, because I've been working on this piece for this lady who had taken this journey to India." And so she said, "Well, I'd like you to make one for my husband. It's his birthday." And there was this theme around the three bears and the constellations. And she wanted blue and black. And I was like, yeah, I'm up for it. I'll try it. And so I did that, and then right after that, I had another person get a hold of me and say, "You know, I love your sacred bracelets, but I'm just not," and this was a longtime intuitive client as well, she said, "but I'm just not a jewelry person. Do you know what these malas are?" And she asked me to design a mala for her, and then I designed 5 or 6 more, but it was like right, boom, 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 right after, one right after the other. Well, I grew up in a family where, you know, you had to really know if you wanted to do something, and you couldn't pussyfoot around, and if you did, you were just not really serious, and you were playing with something. And so my inclination from my family of origin, from my karmic pattern, right, would be to say, "Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's not what I do. That's not how I work." But I've been really into this place of trying to receive whatever the universe brings my way, unless it really won't work for me. And so I just said, "Sure, yeah, I'll do this mala thing. I'm cool with it. I'll experiment with it." And then boom, like there was all this energy. And I really think that is how life is. You know, it was interesting too, like with my talk this last weekend when I went to talk about intuitive tarot. It was just interesting because it wasn't a big audience. It was a little audience. I have a thunder shirt on my cat. I'm going to take it off here because she's not appreciating it. So anyway, okay. Okay, there you go, honey. You better. So I just had anticipated it being a big, big full room of people. And it wasn't. It was about 16 people. But they were the best audience in the world. You know, they were so interested in everything that I brought to the table. They had wonderful questions. One guy got a hold of me beforehand and had found the page for the talk and came to do a reading outside of the talk, wasn't really into the talk part of it, but wanted to come see me. And then I was able to do 2 readings after, scheduled another one this week, and then scheduled an intuitive counseling client out of 16 people. So, like, it's easy to say, you know, "Oh, my gosh, you didn't fill the room." It's easy to go with whatever the culture tells you, you know, bigger, better, faster, more kind of mythos about what we need, right, a literalist interpretation of the hero's journey, when actually, you know, it's so rich when we go underneath that, when we can find the pockets of richness. and kind of go against the grain and still create this magical, magical life. That reminds me of this dream I had, which had showed up. I've been doing some work with this lady who is actually a very, very wonderful massage therapist. You should know of her, Deborah Wright. We've been working back and forth. And of course, when you work and support each other in business, you also end up, chatting and getting to know each other better. And that's the fun of it. But I was telling her about this very, very powerful dream that I had because she was working on the table. She was working on me on the table. And I had this flashback of this dream that I had. And you know how you have those big dreams sometimes and they come back at different times in your life and guide you in different directions by returning the symbology and the felt sense, the energy of the dream to you? Well, anyway, I had had this amazing dream, which was not amazing at the time. If folks out there are familiar with alchemical psychology, which is partially based on the four sacred elements, earth, air, fire, and water, I was in a place called the calcionado, which is the drying out. And it's a certain place that we go to developmentally in our lives where we literally dry out and we feel less like the world is fertile, more like there is less opportunity there. And it's just a byproduct of aging. It's a byproduct of coming around the bend, and I think maybe probably getting to the place where we're not identifying more with the first part of our life, but we're identifying with the second part of our life. So, and this has been a theme that's been coming up lately, and that second part is about a little more about limitation and more about containment, right? The first part of our life is about going out there and doing things and staking your claim, and you know, you feel like the world and the life experiences are endless. And when you get to the second part of your life, you realize that they're limited and there are limited things that you can do, and you have to conserve your energy and figure out what is useful to invest in and what is going to bring back the most return and what is going to create the most joy. So anyway, I was in this very drying out place. I had had some challenges happen to me, and I was just really kind of, I guess, bitter and brittle is the best way to put it. And I had had these dreams about heating up. One where I was sitting on a stove top, looking down over this restaurant, and the stove it was just like one of those flat stoves that just heats up and you can't tell. It's not got a burner or anything. It's not got fire. It just heats up from the inside. And I was getting hotter and hotter and hotter and drying out from the inside. And I can't remember the details of that, but the second one that I had, which has returned again and again and again, there's this one particular place that I'm driving to, and I'm driving and I'm just holding onto the curves and just really enjoying the drive, and it's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day, and I'm just hugging the curves and just going along this highway, and I'm going out onto this isthmus, way, way out into what's surrounded by ocean on both sides, and there are fossils all over the place. There's fossilized rock everywhere, and I am just driving, and there's this fossilized rock, and I get out to this very end of this isthmus, and it's just beautiful. It's this beach that's got all of these white shells that have been worn by the waves, and that are very, very clean, because it's like a saltan sea. It's very salt sea. And it's very concentrated salt. And I jump in the water, and I realize that the land is very, very thin and brittle. And even though it's beautiful, it's arid and it's very, very dry. And if you guys have ever been to like an Indian restaurant, have you ever had that stuff, papadums? It's these tiny, tiny, or these very, very thin little wafers. And the land is like that. The land is jutting out into the ocean, but I realize that I can put my feet up under it and that it's just brittle and dry. And I think to myself, this is beautiful, but nothing can grow out here. You know, I mean, this is so alien and so foreign. And I look at the land. I look inland from where I am out at sea, and where I'm just bobbing up to the surface because of all the salt in the water. And there's nothing there. And I feel this kind of sadness about, you know, the fact that there's nothing there and it's so brittle and arid and dry and that I'm so brittle and arid and dry. And then I let go of my feelings about it and I just look at the environment and I just really look and I really observe all of the details of the environment. And when I do that, what I end up seeing is this movement across the land. So there are these like embankments that are just kind of like mud embankments and they're kind of dried out, but they were muddy at one point. And it looks like there's nothing living there. And all of a sudden I see these tiny little movements of brown just moving around these holes that are in these embankments. And I get really, really curious about it. And I look closer and I realize that there are these little cloaked men in brown cloaks like monks, and they're just running really, really quickly around the outside of these embankments and then going back into these tunnels. And as I look closer, there are tons of them, and they're alive, and there are tons and tons of these wise monks just running, skittering from one place in the embankment and back into and out of these tunnels. And so it takes time for my vision to see that. And that's kind of how I think life is, because what happens is if we focus too much, you know, on the foreground, if we focus too much on what we're told life is doing, you know, and this idea that like we're getting older and there aren't as many opportunities. If we do that, we miss this rich, fertile core that life can always be at any time. And so what happened was I realized that there was this life going on where I thought that there was no life at all. And when I look at my own life, that's the case as well. When I start to get worried about the details, when I start to get worried about the bottom line and these sorts of things, I dry up because I'm in this place where I don't believe that another thing can be. I don't believe in the fertileness. I don't believe in the fact that things happen under the surface, right? So I send that energy out to the universe. And instead, when I get curious and don't bargain with the universe about, you know, my worth and what I'm going to be able to bring in and what I'm going to be able to do in my life and this sort of thing, when I just am very curious about what is, there's a book called, I'm not going to remember. I can never remember these titles anymore. It's called The Power of Now. And I don't know if it's by Eckhart Tolle. I think that it is, yes. And I really resisted that book when I was younger. I thought, God, how boring, you know, how just dull to just focus on what is. But I think as we get older, as we age, we realize the richness, right, the power of what is, and we see more deeply like these monks that I got to see on my journey. And I'm reminded of that dream right now because I've had to, as we all in our careers, have to move away energetically from some things that aren't working for us and create paths that are more redolent and more aware of what our needs are in the world. And I've had to do that too. You know, you pop out into this community and everybody wants to kind of align energetically and you shouldn't align with everybody. I mean, there's a way to be in a community where you're connected with everybody and you are good natured toward everybody, but you may not work closely with everybody. And so a lot of my work has been to figure out who is a good fit for me in my intuitive work and who I want to endorse and who I want to align with and who brings something to the table that's unique and that is warming toward my own vision. And so I've had to move away from energetically what seems very, very potent and very active and sometimes move to places that seem on the surface to be more dry or more barren. But this image, this wonderful image of these monks, right, running around the outside of this dwelling and going back into these tunnels and just tunneling up to the surface and back down, it's kind of about the wisdom tradition and the idea that that we find wisdom when we believe wisdom is there, that we find the right people and the right fit and our clients and our life when we believe that it's there, and when we're very, very curious about what is there, and when we're less reactive, so we're less just like, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, when we're young, we're very reactive and we need to be reactive. But when we're older, you know, we have a deeper sense of what won't work and what will work, and we can move hopefully with more grace toward the things that we're meant to grow into and become and explore and unite with and draw toward us. And we're able to more easily let go of the things that are surface. So I really think that's what this dream is about and what this image is about. And I encourage you guys to think into your, or just feel and notice energetically in your own dreams what has showed up for you energetically. And even if it's a little snippet, it doesn't matter. Just what has showed up for you and what has come back and what the felt sense of that is. If you're interested in this idea about the felt sense, I know I keep kind of talking about this idea and not really explaining it. It's a little hard to explain, but there's a wonderful book by Eugene Genlin. Anybody can get it. Anybody can work with it. It's called Focusing. And it's a wonderful way. And I realized when I was younger, I used to have this paper route when I lived in Cleveland Heights. And I realized when I was younger that I did this very, very easily and automatically. Some people have to be taught, and some people do it very, very easily. And I would do it on my paper route all the time. And what it is you just kind of sum up by not walking into, we're taught in our culture to either walk into or walk away from the big stuff, right? Either we walk into it and we create drama and we go way too deep into our complex, what Jung calls complex material, and we try to solve it from the inside out, which means we're caught up in it, we're hooked. Or we run away from it, and many people spend much of their life running away from all of that deeper stuff. But I believe that what is really interesting and really useful is when we kind of pull it all together and kind of get this composite energy and sum it up and kind of go, is that okay with me? How does that sit with me? What do I want to tweak? So we don't go into it and we don't go away from it. We kind of gather it up, but look at it from a distance. So gather it up. Imagine taking your arm and just gather whatever the energy of, say, the next obstacle or the next opportunity, depending on the way you look at it, in your path is. Just gather the whole energy up, like get yourself into it, like kinesthetically, because that'll help you feel it in your body, right? Just gather that piece up. And then just gather it up and then just take that whole composite, all of that energy, and just put it over there. Just put it over there so you can see it now. And so you can kind of gauge it and see energetically what's going on with it. This is something that I did when I was young a lot. I needed to. It helped me to sort things out. I think a lot of folks, we need help sorting, right? We need help sorting the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. We need help figuring out where our life is. And as we change in our life, we need help again and again and again. And that's a wonderful thing because we're different as we change in our life. So I just encourage you, next time you face an obstacle or an opportunity, the next thing on your agenda that you have to deal with, you know, the thing that you've highlighted but really haven't, like, started working on, to just do this gathering it up and then setting it over there so you can kind of get a sense of it. And that's what Eugene Genlin calls a felt sense, and you can read more about it in that book. It's about 80 pages or something like that, and it's a wonderful, wonderful technique to use. And I encourage you, too, if you're going to see a therapist, that if the therapist does one of two things, it might not be the most useful thing. And of course, it's over time that this would be. I mean, you know, when you start the relationship, of course you create a rapport and you do things right on the surface and you don't go into this stuff. Or if the person really wants to go into stuff and just, boom, go into it and knock it out, you do that. But I would suggest to you that over time, If you find that the person that you're working with, whoever they are, either wants to push away from what's going on or create the drama, you know, get hooked in it, that might not be the most useful way to work. It might be for a short amount of time that there's something to get out of it, but that the most useful way to work is to be able to observe things, to gather it up and be able to observe what's really there before you deal with it, before you really grapple with it or go into it. That's been really, really helpful on my journey for sure. I'm trying to think what else it is I want to share tonight. I actually was going to not do a show at all because I'm working on this thing for sacred bracelets, slideshow. And then I just had all this stuff to say, so I thought, well, you know, I'll just talk. And I encourage you to go with some of those images and just notice energetically. And it doesn't have to be something that you dream about. For folks who aren't big dreamers, I see a lot of people who don't remember their dreams. But this felt sense experience, this kind of feeling of an undercurrent or a symbol that you're drawing into your life or is being drawn into your life, can happen at any point in the day, right? It can happen when you're behind the wheel driving. It can happen when you're out in the woods walking on a hike. It can happen in many different contexts. Jung talks about this principle of synchronicity, and I like to call it energetic matching, just because it's easier to understand sometimes, I think. And that is that the universe will really kind of pony up what you believe and what you tell the universe, where you tell the universe your energy is. And this is kind of, you know, old hat. This is like The Secret or like, what's the other one? What the Bleep Do We Know? And it does happen on a quantum level. It happens on a biochemical level inside of us, this energetic matching. But where we miss it, I think, and I struggle with this too because of my karmic patterns and because I'm a human being just like we all are, is with the literalization piece. You know, we have a tendency to think that we had a dream about it being bright pink and showing up at 2:00 on Tuesday. And if we're looking for it like that, we're going to miss these wonderful magical creases in our life, you know, these wonderful magical grooves in our life, because we're going to be demanding the universe show it to us in the way that it showed up. And the way that it showed up is an ego thing. The way that it showed up has this draw to completion, which is in the home of the ego. And this is the authentic self. This is the soul self that wants to mirror back our experiences. And so that's a lighter, softer presentation, if that makes sense. So I encourage you to play with that idea, and even if there are songs energetically that match, you know, what you've been thinking and feeling, if there is a color that, like, you know, sometimes comes out from the background and seems really, really relevant, it either shows up more often or just pops more than another color, that's an opportunity to work with chakras. If there's an animal that's around all the time, that's an opportunity to work with animal totems. If there's an element that speaks to you, that's an opportunity to work with that. And the reason the felt sense is important, right, is because just because fire is around all the time doesn't mean we need more fire. We need to see where we're at energetically in relationship to the fire. So if we're really, really amped up and really, really impatient and really frustrated or angry or just, you know, really wanting to be in that ego place and make everything show up for ourselves, maybe that fire means that we need to channel the energy differently. Maybe it means that we need to move away from the fire. Maybe it means, you know, so you get to sit with that energy of fire and say, what is this in relationship to me? Why is it showing up this way? why is it showing up as a big bonfire or big fire that's uncontained? Or why is it showing up in this place where all the fire is contained, right? So then we get to notice our relationship to air, because if the fire's contained, then there's oxygen and there's air there that's working with the fire. So it really isn't about just, it's like, that's why those dream interpretation books don't work very well, because they're one size fits all, right? And really what we want to do is be there with the experience and notice what it's saying specifically in relationship, the fixity of the energy in relationship to how we're responding to the energy. So that is a different thing than just reading in a book that fire means that you need to get around warmth and community. That's a different thing. That's how has fire shown up in your life? How has it shown up again and again and again? Has it helped you? Has it been too much? So these are where we get to ask all these aha questions that lead us back to the inner work with ourselves. So I think that's what I have tonight. Yeah, that's what I have tonight for you. I encourage you to check out my talk at Phoenix Books if you're in the CBUS area. It should be a really great opportunity to ask about the design process, and not just my design process, you know, but just to get curious about how your imagination works. I'll be talking a lot about this principle of synchronicity and energetic matching and sharing stories about it. As they've shown up with my clients with sacred bracelets. And so I'm sure that there'll be a jewel for you there, a gem for you there as well on your journey through stories. Stories I read for this guy last week, and it was all about stories and listening to stories and being around, being able to listen to different kinds of stories. And I think that's such a wonderful, wonderful, rich opportunity. And when we don't get enough in our culture. So I encourage you to check that out. I encourage you to just enjoy the November, you know, the cooling, the getting cold outside, and to just notice what's there and notice energetically what's inside you. And notice those fixed properties too. Notice those fixities that Jung talks about with the archetypes as well. And have a wonderful, wonderful week. Also, I encourage you to check out innervoiceintuitive.com. That is my website. You can find out all the work I do, hypnotherapy, chakras, dreams, all sorts of stuff. Check out the blogs as well if you're interested in some of the storytelling pieces. And also I have some YouTube videos about the four sacred elements. So you can just go under innervoiceintuitive.com and check those out. I'm sure I'm missing something, but that's okay. You know, you can't get everything. So, okay, have a great evening, everybody. This is a great song by Dar Williams called The Blessings, all about the synchronicity principle. Enjoy. Do share your sunny face with Inner Voice Intuitive so you can find out what's happening on upcoming shows and whatever you do between now and next week. Go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic in your life, because that's what we're here for, and share it with others. Take good care. Bye now.